Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Please leave your message.
New York! It's me, Kevin McDonald, New York. Hi, New York. How are you doing? I'm doing fine, thank you. I'm coming to entertain you, New York, on Saturday, April 7th, as part of the NYC PodFest. And I could be bad. I could be 40% a Kevin McDonald, and the show will still be great, because I'm bringing a very special guest. Who? Well, thank you for asking, New York. Michael Ian Black, Jordan Klepper, and musical guests, Weedus! What an excellent show! I'm not even lying this time. This one really is an excellent show. Buy your tickets today at nycpodfest.com. That's nycpodfestdot.com. You don't spell the D-O-T. I mean, it's nycpodfest.com. Also, I'm calming now. Subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcast. You will give an angel wings and me money. And as soon as I get the money, I'll go and buy wings. Because I like wings. Wings are great. Thank you!
We have a special guest with us in town this weekend. You probably know him from his work on The Kids in the Hall. His name is Mr. Kevin McDonald, and I will invite him to join me here on stage right now. Now, Kevin, let's give these guys a little context. What are we doing here tonight?
So what we're doing, the first half will be my podcast show that was written mostly by my producers in New York. So blame them. They're not here. But everyone here in Dad's Garage are so brilliant. They will make it work. I swear to God. I'm kidding. It's a good script, I think. I don't know. Anyway, so we'll be doing that. And that will go on. You can hear that on iTunes and ForeverDog.com. But you don't have to, because you'll be listening to it live tonight. And then we'll have an intermission in the second half will be me telling stories that are sort of the best stories, in my opinion, that I've told in the podcast. And that'll be the show.
Okay, here we go. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the show. Guess you're all clapping for me. Not, yeah. So I will be your announcer for this evening. You know, most people call this Kevin McDonald's Kevin McDonald Show. But you know what I like to call it? My dad's show. That's right. I'm Kevin McDonald's son. I'm a sad sack and I suck. I guess when he asked me to do it, he thought he was doing me a favor. Pfft, is it a favor to make me miss Gotham? Anyways, without further ado, please welcome your host for this evening, the only McDonald here you wouldn't be embarrassed to say is your friend, my dad, Kevin McDonald!
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. And thanks so much for that great introduction, son. Thank you. You really have a knack for announcing. You know that?
The only things I have a knack for are cleaning out toe jam and solo rollerblading.
Solo rollerblading. Is solo rollerblading different from rollerblading?
Wow. Just stick the orc dagger in my heart, Dad. Yeah. I guess that's a good point, though. Why bother saying it's solo? Everything I do is solo. Rollerblading, racquetball, horseback riding.
Well, solo horseback riding sounds very noble.
Not when there's no horse.
Oh. Well, at least you're here with your pop now, huh? Boy, was I glad when I booked the show in Atlanta. We got a whole week for father and son bonding. We can make up for lost time.
I wish for once I'd get lost in time instead of in the parking lot at Bubba Gump's.
All right, Blevin.
Don't say my name.
What? What do you mean? You're my son, Blevin, and I'm proud to say your name, Blevin, Blevin, Blevin.
I wish you hadn't named me Blevin.
Why? What's wrong with Blevin? Blevin is a perfectly good name. Blevin is a handsome, strong derivative of my name. Kevin, invented when your mother smeared the ink on your birth certificate as she was waving it in my face, telling me I should just leave you both, since I'd never be as good as a traveling podcaster as the man she really loved.
Mark Maron?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know the story. I just hate my name. I go by Jeepman. Well, if anyone listened to me, I would. They mostly call me Blevin.
I'm sorry, Blevin. It sounds like you have a tough life. Hey, I know. Let's tell each other one good thing that happened in each of our weeks. I'll start. When I was walking to the bathroom on the plane today, someone mistook me for the pilot. Me, a handsome pilot. They served me the pilot's divorce papers before I could correct them. But it felt pretty cool. Now you go.
Wow, sure sounds like a highlight. Okay, this week I donated blood to school kids.
That's great. That's so nice. That's wonderful. Are they all right now?
Oh, yeah. They weren't sick. They beat me up once a week and call it donating blood.
Oh, son, I'm so sorry. Anything else we could celebrate instead?
Well, yeah, I do have some good news.
Great!
I started having bowel movements again.
Oh.
The bad news is, again, is right now on stage.
Blevin, did you shit your pants?
According to Dr. Arden, what I make is technically not shit, but harder, rounder urine.
Ah. Really?
Luckily, it melts.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
Unluckily, once it melts, its smell is best compared to melted shit. Really makes things hard at my current job as a year-round mall Santa.
Hey, you know what, buddy? It's just like my agent always says. They can't smell you through a podcast, Blevin. It's the best medium for you.
Your agent calls you Blevin?
Yes. She thought it fit my face better.
Oh, that's sad.
What I'm trying to say is, who cares if you shit hard urinated in your pants? It's just a podcast. We can smell however we want. It doesn't matter.
I guess you're right.
Oh, God, I smell it now. I smell it now.
Maybe I can be good at this, good at something for once, and everyone has to listen to me.
I need to distract the audience. Go over, get off the stage, Blevin. Thank you. Well, that was my fake son. So I might as well bring my fake girlfriend. Fake girlfriend, come up here.
Upset about that. Hi, how's it going, fake Kevin?
I love you, fake girlfriend.
I pretend to love you too.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, fake girlfriend and I are very happy to be here in Atlanta.
I can't believe it. This place is amazing.
It's amazing.
Amen.
Yes. Amen, sister. Though she's my fake girlfriend, not my fake
girlfriend.
Sister.
Let's define the relationship.
Yes.
Okay.
And you know what I love best about Atlanta? Well, let's sing about it.
Okay, oh Christ, here we go.
Hey, baby, we're in Atlanta, a land full of peaches and sin. The perfect place to see my favorite movie. Get the shovel, dig up the VCR, we're gonna see Gone with the Wind, starring Clark Gable. And when we're in Manhattan, we can see The Lion King, Les Miserables, or Mamma Mia, or stay inside.
Oh, okay.
Put the Netflix on and see Gone with the Wind again, starring Vivien Leigh. Hey, baby.
That's my name.
We're in Atlanta. Hey, baby.
Still my name.
We're in Atlanta. They burned down poor Atlanta in Gone with the Wind. With Leslie Howard. They burned down Atlanta and Gone with the Wind. They actually burned Atlanta in real life in the Civil War.
Yeah, it was General
which is
Sherman.
More sad than funny, and I shouldn't really mention it in the comedy show.
Let's dance. Let's just dance it off. It'll be okay. Because I have a question for you.
Okay.
Is Gone with the Wind that really long movie? Of you becoming less interesting. There is the sound of me just realizing I made a mistake. You're not the coolest guy in the world. I made a mistake. You might be a gay man or asexual, which is fine. You don't have to worry all the time what I think, 'cause I'm leaving you and gone with the wind is your new girlfriend. Enjoy her.
I can't believe that unlike me, she's never seen Gone with the Wind.
I haven't.
And yet I know, woohoo, lots of movies you go to. Your favorite movie show is Meet the Fockers, not Gone with the Wind. You have horrible taste.
What?
You have horrible taste.
What?
Have you even seen Citizen Kane? Or The Bicycle Thief, even?
Nope.
The things that you like are just shit. The things that you like are real shit. Have you even seen 8½? Or Lawrence of Arabia?
Nope.
Or The Wiz, which I actually think is an underrated classic, starring Mr. Nipsey Russell.
My favorite movie is Gremlins 2. I loved Goonies and Scooby-Doo. Corey Feldman, Phoebe Cates, and Elizabeth Shue.
Boo!
I want another Karate Kid. 7 or 8 Karate Kids. Ralph Macchio's better than Olivier. My favorite
you
movie
have
is
horrible
Gremlins
taste.
2.
You have horrible taste. You have horrible, horrible taste.
I want another Karate Kid. 7 or 8
You have horrible taste. You have horrible taste. But nothing's as good as Gone with the Thank you, fake girlfriend.
Yep. Thanks, fake Kevin. Nice to know we're broken up.
All right, now we're fake broken up.
Fake broken up.
All right, let's do the sketch.
You ready to do the sketch? Okay, here we go.
Okay.
Interior, office, conference room, day. We open on Mr. Erickson, a business executive conducting a meeting with his employees.
All right, team, the quarterly reports are in and we are crushing it. We actually blew past street estimates for our fourth quarter earnings. Our stock is up and this company's future is looking very optimistic.
There's a knock at the door and Carol, Mr. Erickson's secretary, enters.
Mr. Erickson, Bob Woolman on line one.
I'm in a meeting, Carol. Can I call him back?
He says it's urgent.
Okay, thanks, Carol. Put him through. Sorry about this, everyone. Sorry.
Mr. Erickson answers the conference room phone.
Hey, Bob, how are you? No, I don't have you in speaker. Well, those are quite the allegations. Fraud.
Yep.
And embezzling.
No.
That's pretty bad. Oh, there's more. Yeah, that all sounds pretty awful. There's more. Oh, my empire's crumbling. The hammer's coming down. Okay, bye, Bob.
Bye.
Mr. Erickson hangs up the phone.
Okay, now where was I? Yes, core competency. Core competency is key.
Is everything all right, Mr. Erickson?
Everything is great, Carol. Oh, but while I have you here, I'm going to need you to shred everything, okay? Great. So core competency.
You want me to shred everything?
Yeah, shred everything. Not a big deal. I just need you to shred everything. You're doing a great job, Carol. Shred everything.
There's rumblings and chatter amongst the concerned employees.
Rumble, chatter. This can't be good. So, is the company in trouble?
What's going on?
Oh, just because I asked Kara to shred everything, everyone automatically assumes the company's in trouble, and I'm probably going to prison for the rest of my adult life? Come on! But seriously, Carol, just shred everything. Can you do that for me? In fact, can everyone please start shredding everything? Much appreciated, gang. Time and tide wait for no man.
More rumbling. More chatter. Now I'm more certain this can't be good.
Suddenly, another employee, let's call him Dan Triandaflow, enters, out of breath.
Here's the report you wanted, sir, Mr. Erickson.
Thanks, Dan. This all looks great. Oh, great, 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 great. I need you to shred this for me ASAP.
Shred it? I worked all night on it.
Yeah, and when you're done shredding this, I'm also going to need you to shred everything else.
Shred everything?
Yeah, shred. Shred everything when you have a moment, but as soon as ASAP.
Rising tension. Commotion building. We're getting angrier.
People, shredding everything is not a sign our business is on the brink of ruin, nor is it a sign that I'm making a panic last-ditch effort to avoid hard time in prison. Hey, let's play a game. Whoever shreds the most, wins, I guess. Sure. Great. Aces in their places, people.
Are we all going to prison?
Come on. No one said anything about prison, Dan.
You did, several times.
Andrea, if anyone's going on and on about prison, it's Dan. Speaking of Dan, I need you to do me a favor. Go to the bank, take out my safety deposit box, then go to the woods, dig a deep, deep hole, and bury it. Bury everything, ASAP as possible.
I'm not doing that.
Dan, hold that thought. Just need to make a quick call to the wife.
Mr. Erickson takes out his phone and dials.
Sweetheart, how are you, darling? I just wanted to call and say that you're the best thing in my life. And maybe the only thing I ever did, you know, that was right. I may have to go away for a while. But I just want you to know I love you more than anything. Also, I need you to run to the bathroom, open the cabinet, and flush everything. Just flush everything. Can you do that?
Another employee, Bill, passes Mr. Erickson as he heads for the door.
Gotta go, sweetie. Bill, would you like a promotion? You can have my job. You've earned it, sir.
I quit and screw you.
Off to greener pastures, I see. Congratulations.
All the employees start heading for the door.
Andrea, how about a promotion? Corner office? View of the city? Company in the brink of disaster?
Fuck off.
No? Fair enough. It's a high-stress job, not for everybody. Carol, let's get someone from IT up here as toot sweet as possible and have them wipe all those computers clean. Wipe everything. Oh, and Carol, great news! You're the new CEO! You've worked hard and it hasn't gone unnoticed. But truth be told, you're probably going to want to shred everything as soon as possible.
I'm going home, Mr. Erickson.
You will never be a CEO with a work ethic like that, Carol. Anyone mind if I open the window?
Mr. Erickson opens the office window.
There we go. On an unrelated note, has anyone seen my rope ladder? The one I keep handy for business emergencies?
Mr. Erickson scans the office.
Found it! It was in the stationery closet. Good old trusty rope ladder.
Mr. Erickson unravels the rope ladder, secures it to the windowsill, then tosses the length of it out the 47th floor office window. But it turns out the rope ladder is only about 40 feet long.
I could have sworn this was a much longer rope ladder. Ah, well... It'll have to do. Oh, hey, Fred Allister, how are the kids?
You're a horrible man, Mr. Erickson. You've ruined us all.
Hey, little Susie must be in grade school by now. Give my regards to the family. Feel free to shred something on your way out.
Mr. Erickson climbs out the window and begins descending the rope ladder.
Gang, I'm just going to climb down the side of the building for a second. No need for concern. It's an old business trick. Scaling buildings clears the head. Speaking of using our heads, let's think of a way to get those numbers up, people. More productivity, higher earnings, and a better legal team.
Mr. Erickson reaches the end of the rope ladder and jumps, plummeting towards the streets below.
Ah! Shred everything! Excellent. Thank you very much, Sketch Troop. Well, now I would like to interview a guy I've wanted to interview with forever. Forever. Why not? Say that. Lucky Yates. Lucky, come up. Yeah. He's got a thing.
Please leave your message.
Hello, Kevin McDonald Podcast listeners. I'm Kevin McDonald Podcast. I've changed my last name to Podcast. And by the way, thank you, listeners. Thank you for listening. I love all 412 of you. I am super excited to tell you about our new sponsor, Mack Weldon. I love anybody whose first name is Mack, like my mother. Especially this Mac, though. But this Mac Weldon is a premium men's essentials brand that believes in smart design and premium fabrics. And it's a clothes store online for men. Once someone explained to me what online meant, I went there. I went online and saw the most amazing clothes ever! Ever! They even look good on me, and I have 28-inch legs. Mac Weldon believes in smart design, premium fabrics, and simple shopping. And going online and buying the clothes is very easy, even for me. And I'm an idiot with short legs. Mac Weldon has the most comfortable underwear, socks, shirts, undershirts, hoodies, and sweatpants that you will ever wear, which is good for me. If you came to my podcast, you would know that I only wear hoodies and underwear. Come to a show. Check out my underwear. They want you to be comfortable, so if you don't like the first pair, you can keep it, and they'll still refund you. No questions asked. Not only does Mac Weldon's underwear, socks, and shirts look good, they perform well, too. It's good for working out. One day I'm going to work out. Going to work, one day I'll get a job. Going out on dates, I have a lot of time ahead of my life to meet a woman. Just everyday life they're good for. So go to MacWeldon.com and get 20% off using promo code KevinMcDonald. That's one word. Kevin McDonald. No space. Kevin McDonald. Just like me, I have no spaces. I don't know what that means.
In the 80s, with my girlfriend, who I call Cheater, we saw... Yeah.
She gets around that one.
She gets the Cheater got around. Yeah. We saw Gremlins and Gremlins 2 together. Like, Gremlins, she thought that was our movie. But I actually thought Gremlins 2 was a good movie.
Gremlins 2 is a great movie.
Actually, Gremlins is fine, but Gremlins 2 is like a better movie.
Well, they got...
It's more like a hard-out comedy, isn't it?
Yeah, it totally is. They multiplied the Gremlins times 1,000, and you get all... Roddy McDowell is a Gremlin.
Is he?
He's in that.
I didn't know that.
Absolutely. He's in everything, though.
But I mentioned then the last thing. Here's another thing. I know we're interviewing you, not me, but here I go. It's like we're having a discussion that I'm forcing.
Yeah.
I've never seen Goonies. Isn't that weird? I've never seen Goonies.
Here's
I was in my 20s and I loved the 70s. I was thinking about Dog Day Afternoon, the movie Network, and Godfather, and I didn't want to see Goonies. Was I wrong? Should I see it?
Here is something. Here's an even more controversial statement, Kevin McDonald of the Kevin McDonald Show.
Yes.
I have seen the Goonies and I fucking hate it.
Oh.
I think it's terrible.
Oh.
It's a mess. The characters all talk over each other. You don't really have any reason to care about them except that they're kids. And then there's like cartoonish shit. Like there's a kid that has like secret thing. He opens his trench coat and like boxing gloves on, you know, springs come out and knock out adult human males. Yet there's... It's really uneven.
How's the springs realistic? How do they make it realistic in the movie?
I don't know. Josh Brolin grounds it, I guess.
Oh, Josh Brolin was in it.
not Amanda Plummer. Who is who's the girl in it? Martha Plimpton. Thank you.
Oh,
Martha Plimpton.
Okay, so
they ground it.
So you do hate it.
I do.
I'm ruining the podcast, but and we're going to interview you. I swear to God.
No, let's talk about the Goonies.
But
for
who
the rest
from the audience
of the show,
wants to defend the Goonies? Don't. But someone has to. But they have to come closer to me because the mic isn't that long. Who wants to defend the Goonies?
Oh, yeah, great, Dana. Right. Dana from earlier.
Dana from earlier.
You should. This is great. You're a part of the show already. You're already a friend.
Okay, so I'm going to defend the Goonies, and this is actually based on a real life thing that happened, and that is my partner, my husband, of 11 years.
Lucky number.
It's very lucky. He actually hates the Goonies. He was the person that stood up earlier when you said you hated the Goonies. He was very... He absolutely hates it. I grew up with it. Like, it was what I had.
What does that mean, though? Why did you have it? Why did you like it?
What do you mean it's what you had?
It's what I had. I would like to cite it as one of the most beautiful filming locations. We're just going to start there. One of the most beautiful Astoria, Oregon is the same filming location as Kindergarten Cop. They're very proud of it. And also, they're very proud of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 3, also filmed there in Astoria, Oregon. Who knew? Did you know?
Thank you.
Yeah, so I'm going to at least say that it is one of the most picturesque films you've ever seen. At least one of the most picturesque films you've ever seen for a location.
Do you know
only.
Who the cinematographer was on it?
I don't, but I know that Richard Donner directed it, and I should know the cinematographer because now my argument is moot.
Yeah, it's really.
But we actually argued about this film to a point to where he loved seeing, like, he wanted to go see the Halloween filming locations, and that's something we did. And then he was like, "What would you want to see? Would you want to see Goonies?" And I was like, "You fucking hate Goonies. I don't want to do that."
But why is it good?
And then we did it.
Besides locations, why is it good?
Why is it good besides location? I would want to say togetherness.
Togetherness?
Togetherness?
What does that mean?
It means...
the message of the film, you mean?
You have seven... Uh-oh.
It's Nick McClane. Nick McClane is
something.
The,
is that the reason? Oh, it's Nick.
Oh,
McClane.
Nick McClane's.
You
it's
know
a
what?
Nick McClane
fun
film.
Name to say. I'm gonna
thank
go
you, beloved.
Ahead and put that in my bucket. That it's it that I will defend that for Goonies. I will also say that. Oh yeah, it's about togetherness. It's about ingenuity, which you're mentioning.
But is it good?
Kids inventing shit.
But it's about good stuff. But is it good? Like is there funny dialogue? Is there like do you
no,
get thrilled with
the
thrills?
I can't understand any of the
and
dialogue.
There's
it's terrible.
No, they're
no, it's
in a
terrible.
Well. They're
there's
in
like,
a well.
There's one
Stand
person,
by Me is good.
There's one person you can understand in that entire cast.
Who?
Martha Plimpton.
She's a good actress. Actor.
She's great.
Is
She's
it sexy
great...
to say actress? I don't know. I'm
it's
close.
Got the lady who was the mother from Throw Mama from the Train. You can't understand a goddamn word she
Mom
says.
Mama Fratelli, yeah.
Joey Pants is in it. He's always good.
Joey Pantalone.
He's always really good.
He's great. Yeah.
I hear that actress really was autistic. I shouldn't say that.
That lady?
On
Throw Mama from the Train, and she really was autistic.
Then it's not just about togetherness, but it's
Anne
about...
Anne Ramsey!
Ramsey.
Thank you. Thank you.
Nick, oh, wait. Now that you're here.
Nick McClane. Okay. Should I
people,
go now?
No, no. Oh, I want I you done? To stay. Okay. People under 40, people that are younger than me, which are like people under 80, they all tell me this. I say, what's your favorite movie? And yeah. I was a kid in the 70s. So like, I think it's what, like Network or Dog Day Afternoon or Citizen Kane or there's so many others. And they say Back to the Future. And yeah, we're an interview. Don't worry.
No, I know. Let's talk. Let's talk about films.
No,
so
I think it is.
This is great.
But Back
this
to the
totally
Future. It's a fine movie, but the best movie ever. Like better than 8.5. Better than Lawrence
well,
of Arabia.
I think, well,
the best movie ever.
Dana's argument in that, like you know, that's the movie that touched her at a certain point in her life, and like stayed with her, and just became important because
people.
Of the place. Yeah.
Yeah.
Kind of.
Yeah, yeah. Robbie Benson. I saw a Robbie Benson movie called One on One. And it touched me a little bit, but I know it's not the best movie ever.
Okay.
But a lot of people that also say Back to the Future mm-hmm. probably have never seen Dog Day Afternoon. You know what I mean?
I guess so. Yeah.
So let's
it's
also
like pop music
right,
of film.
Let's also break down the idea of adventure and being able to put yourself in a character's shoes, right? So the representation is: I am a child.
Yeah.
This is also a child I'm seeing. I can put myself in this child's shoes. This child is doing something incredible. I would like to do said incredible thing, such as play bone piano. I would like to play bone piano, and then
what's
and
bone
then
piano?
There is a bone piano. Have you seen? You haven't seen. You haven't,
I haven't seen.
The,
I really
oh
haven't
no!
Seen.
I feel like I'm spoiling the Goonies for you.
No, it's okay. Spoil it.
There. Okay. So
none
there
of it'll
is,
make sense when he sees it. He'll
yeah.
Be like, what?
There's
oh,
a there's
the bone
a
piano.
There's a pivotal scene where they have to hit different notes like B flat. And Andy is like transcribing the lyrics, who is also a character and an actor, a female actor and actor that I do not remember who has played her. So I'm a terrible Goonies fan. The not Martha Plimpton female,
right.
Carrie Green in the Goonies.
I don't remember her.
She remembers how to transcribe piano notes, and she hits the correct note, and then a passageway opens. And so being able to put yourself in the shoes of those characters and say, I could have this adventure. Also, I could release a pirate ship. Or here's something you'll hear a lot, people saying, where's the octopus scene in Goonies, right? Everyone has a different Goonies touchstone, and there are certain people that saw an octopus. Has anybody seen the octopus scene in Goonies? It's a deleted
okay,
scene.
There's a deleted
but there are people
scene.
That argue it has been it was showed on HBO and not in other formats.
Mm-hmm.
It's like no, it's real. Guys.
Stand by Me is a good movie.
It is. It is.
And I know you people Rob who Ryder were like kids in the 80s film. Like Stranger Things, but it just reminded me of all the bad movies of the 80s that I didn't like.
What was another?
Another 80s movie I didn't like.
Yeah.
Space Camp.
I never saw Space Camp. Why did you see Space Camp?
I saw it with Cheater. Cheater wanted to see it.
She did?
Oh. Yeah.
Wow.
Was she
banging dudes who would enjoy Space Camp?
Yeah, wait.
You're lucky to be.
So was that whole song about her?
There was a. No, no.
Okay,
I don't think so. I forget. What song did we sing about? No, I made that up. But I did in one of my podcasts, I did a rock opera called Cheaters in Love. And it's about the cheater. Has anyone heard that with Ben Gibbard from Death Cab for Cutie? Yeah, I did. I liked it. Just me, I guess. Matt heard it.
I'd like to call out your Nipsey Russell shout.
People
out
laughed
earlier
when I said Nipsey Russell. Yeah. I was so surprised.
He is rooted in Atlanta.
Is he really?
This thing was like rhyming. You know, he like spoke.
He rhymed. That's right. He was on a lot of like talk shows or game shows.
Yeah,
he rhymed.
Yeah, match game. And
roses are red, violets are blue. Something funny that rhymes with blue.
Right. He perfected that craft working here in Atlanta at The Varsity, which is a giant like hot dog and hamburger joint right by Georgia Tech. They're like the single biggest purveyors of Coca-Cola in the country or something. Like, they sell more Cokes than any other place in the country. Something weird. There's some weird Varsity fact like
that. And how would he perfect rhyming there?
He was a car hop. It's a drive-in, and it still is today.
And
he would go be one of the car hops that would go out and take orders at cars, and he would do it in rhyme. He started rhyming doing that job and then went on to fame and fortune being a rhyming comic. I guess he was a comic. He wasn't really an actor, right?
I don't know. All I know is he was on game shows.
Yeah, that's right.
And he would say everything. He would start everything with roses are red, violets are blue, and make a joke that rhymes with blue that has something to do with the question he was asked.
Yeah.
sounds not funny.
Nipsey Russell.
Yeah.
People always laugh.
For you, Nipsey kids. Russell.
And he played the Tin Man in The Wiz?
He was the Tin Man.
We did a musical number from The Wiz in my middle school theater musical recital, and it was like we had wood sticks, so it was ease on down the road, and it went da-da-da, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Like, it was, that's all I remember from the Ease On Down the Road. Like, it was an amazing exposure to
that reminds
The Wiz.
Me. I'm sorry for interrupting, but that reminds
no.
me.
Why
do I stand every now and then?
Oh, no, I love it.
I stand.
Should we all stand when you stand? Are you like the Pope? Should we, like, follow your lead?
The woman I saw after Cheater, ex-wifey, when I first met her, her friends in the U of T, University of Toronto, they were putting on a play, and I saw it, and it was an all-white version of The Wiz.
Why?
It was an all-white version.
That's
like,
great.
No!
You've got to ease on down that road, everybody. It sort of defeated the purpose.
That
of the
sounds
Wiz.
Like something that would happen in Big Little Lies. They'd be like, let's do The Wiz.
Yeah, exactly. But it was a true story. Oh. It was an all-white version of The Wiz.
Well, that's Toronto for you.
Oh, my
I'm from
gosh.
Toronto.
I know. City of Thieves. That's what it means in the ancient dialect of the people that were originally from Toronto. They settled the region, but then they came. The white man came in and ran them all out with disease.
Just let me know when I need to get off the stage.
No, you can stay. Okay. This segues to the next question.
City of Thieves.
It's great that we're standing. Where did you grow up?
Detroit, Michigan. Just across the border from
Windsor,
Ontario.
Yeah, Windsor.
Just across the river.
And people always say things like this to me. Windsor is actually south of Detroit. Is that true?
It is absolutely true. We have to drive south in order to get into Canada from Detroit.
Where's RoboCop?
Correct. RoboCop is in New Detroit, madam.
Whoa.
That is the city above old Detroit that they're building above it. Little ahead of the time. Are you talking about the actual... the statue, though?
I'd like to know.
They haven't erected the statue
not
yet.
Not just the statue,
I love that we're standing.
But the filming locations.
Oh.
Let's go to the spot.
Let's go. We're going to Detroit right now.
Producers in New York, we're running out of time. We're running
here we are down Woodward Boulevard, which is Highway 1, ladies and gentlemen. Woodward Boulevard.
Did they shoot in Detroit?
What?
Did they shoot RoboCop in Detroit?
I don't believe so. I don't think so. I think it was all Los Angeles, California. Dallas, what? Texas.
Dallas,
that's right.
Texas,
it was
double
right.
Detroit.
That's right. It was Dallas.
They shot RoboCop 3 here in Atlanta. Oh. By that point in time, I think RoboCop could fly. Didn't he gain flight in that one?
But
wow, they really became stupid, those films.
The original RoboCop is a great movie.
It's amazing.
It's from the 80s.
It's a Paul Verhoeven film.
Yeah, and Ray Wise, who you guys may know from Twin Peaks as Leland Palmer, if anyone has seen Twin Peaks, he's in RoboCop, and he was just at, I just saw him at a convention, and he had pictures laid out, obviously, from Twin Peaks. But RoboCop was one of the only other things he was ever proud of. Like, he's done lots of things, but he was was like, the two things I want to sell to you guys today are Twin Peaks and RoboCop.
Yeah. Oh, I'm like that. Right. Kids in the Hall, Lilo and Stitch.
That's it. Those were like his tops.
I thought you would laugh. I didn't think you would applaud. I'm so sorry.
Never seen Lilo and Stitch.
Yeah, don't you? It's fine. It's fine. Yeah, I'm not embarrassed by it.
So, I don't know. I lost my love for Disney musicals by that point.
I heard it was filmed in Detroit.
It was. Lilo and Stitch was. It makes a great Hawaii on film. It's really weird.
We
know
all our voice
Detroit.
Work in Detroit.
Oh.
Yeah, that's why Magnum P.I. Wears a Detroit Tigers cap. That was the one stipulation from the city of Detroit for them shooting Magnum P.I. in Detroit to double as Hawaii. Because it's very expensive to shoot in Hawaii. But Detroit, when you're inside of it, looks exactly like Hawaii.
All the volcanoes.
Islands, it's nothing. You can only drive so far before you see nothing but ocean for some reason. And in Michigan, a peninsula, yes.
I heard that's where they shot all of Lost.
Ithmus.
I put my phone in the wrong part of my pocket. It's going to slide down my pants now.
Oh, no, it's okay. We got you. It's okay.
I'm going to ask you a question.
Yes, go for it.
Tell me what it was like living in Detroit. Do you love it? Tell me everything. And then I'm going to get the phone in the wrong...
What was it like living in Detroit? Well, I grew up...
My story is nowhere near as exciting
as you sliding a cellular telephone, an iPhone, I assume?
Everyone loves you, down. Lucky. Okay.
Don't put it back in the wrong pocket, though.
No.
Oh, okay.
If I put it on this side, it slides down my pants.
I loved growing up in Detroit. It's a city that really, I mean... I grew up in the 70s there, and it was already starting to go downhill. There were some race riots in the 60s, and then there was a white flight, and then...
It was bad, because Rodriguez recorded his album in 1970, and things were bad. You could tell by the lyrics.
Yeah, things were already bad, and getting worse. And so Detroit was this weird... My father was a lifelong Detroiter, and so we lived just outside of the actual city itself. In
are you one of those miles? 1 mile, 2 mile, 3 mile?
11 mile I was 11 on. Mile, yeah, okay. I was on 11 mile. And
3 miles away from...
8 mile... Why 8 mile is so significant is because that is literally the city limit. Once you cross over north of 8 mile, you are outside of Detroit. But they designed it after Washington D.C. Maybe, I don't know, French architect or whatever designed the roads there. However, growing up there was great. It was crumbling, and there's a real sense of pride in Detroiters, no matter what. And so, even though the city was really tumbling and did for decades, mostly because of a corrupt mayor that got in there and then just started profiting off of the taxes. It's a great place. Like, there's a pride. There's just a civic pride there that because you work hard. Everybody there works hard. They work in factories and, you know, building things and cars and all that. And cars are very important.
Are you a comic with an unhappy childhood or a happy childhood?
I have a very happy childhood. I was pretty
weirdo.
Neurotic. I was a neurotic kid. I started seeing a shrink when I was in fifth grade. Fifth, sixth, and seventh grade.
Whose idea was that?
My parents. My brother, I have an older brother, and he had some kind of weird event in his life.
Then
he got hospitalized.
Oh, no.
And then, but it was some, maybe, I don't know if it was a psychotic breakdown. I don't know what happened to that kid. But then when the shrinks all saw him, they went, hey, this guy's pretty messed up. We should bring the family in and see what the whole dynamic is. And then my family went in. It was weird. There were like people watching us and we were being videotaped in a time where there were not video cameras. Like it was the 70s. That kind of technology, you were like, well, there's a TV camera in here? This is weird. And then they talked to the whole family, but every time they tried to talk to me, I would just burst into tears. And so they're like, needs his own counseling. And so,
wow.
Yeah.
Did it help?
I was freaked out by everything. I didn't like new experiences and I didn't like people talking.
Well, can we change it around then? And let's talk about food again. can we talk about...
And then the Goonies.
And then the Goonies. So Detroit has, like, they're known for like hot dogs, right? Like, there's like a specific type of hot dog.
It's called a Coney Island hot dog. Chili dog.
Yeah, so wait, can you explain to us why it's Coney Island, but also done in Detroit?
Because it started with a couple of Greek brothers. There are these two Greek dudes that started the American Coney Island. And they called them Coney Island hot dogs because they thought that just sounded American.
It does.
Oh. So,
like a Russian.
It's a chili dog. It has nothing to do with actual Coney Island, which, you know, is Nathan's. They don't even sell Nathan's hot dogs there. It's like another kind of locally made hot dog. It has to have like the casing on it, the natural casing. Oh, there's got to be a snap to it. There's like a real. Detroiters are very specific about their Coney dogs. There's
so which is the best?
Imitators. Like, what's the best?
Yeah, the best.
My favorite is the original one. So anyway, so American's Coney Island started on this corner, and then the brothers got into a fight. And then so a brother moved to the building immediately next door and opened another Coney restaurant with the exact same recipe, but then a divide. And they would both stand out front and try to grab everybody in there.
They have the same name?
No, one was American, and then it was on a street. It's on a street called Lafayette. The other one is Lafayette Coney Island. Lafayette Coney Island has a much cooler interior. It's very old school dinery, but it also is smaller and compact.
So you teenagers would pick favorites.
Yeah. Oh, everybody picked favorites. You immediately had a favorite, and it was the same goddamn food. Like it didn't matter, except Americans served fries before Lafayette did. So like they would try to do things to outdo one another. I think they're still rivals. I don't know. They're still right next door to each other.
Good question.
Yeah, you know, Detroit. Great place.
I'll have to come back here because we're running out of time soon and we're never going to get to Archer. But that's okay. Well, what was the first thing you really wanted to be? Was it a comedian, actor?
Actor, yeah. I always fancied myself an actor.
And what did you do that? Did you tell your parents?
No, I told them that was the thing I was pursuing, and they had the, you know, you're never going to make any money doing this. This is not how, that's not a thing. Yes. You should really have a backup plan. And I was like, I don't want a backup plan. That's all I want to do. And they're like, but you're not going to make, you're going to live a life of poverty. Don't you understand? I was like, I don't care.
What was their, so they said live a life of poverty. What was their biggest worry? Like
that I would be living in their basement as a, you know, 50 something year old man and going like, hey, send a sandwich down here, huh, ma?
So they were worried about a sandwich man hitting his broomstick against the ceiling of the basement, and they had to bring it down to you.
It happens. There's a lot of failed actors who become sandwich men.
Yeah.
They really do. They're sandwich artists. That's why they keep their art, and then they all go to work for Subway Sandwich Corporation.
What did you do to become an actor?
What did I do?
I just kept
on track, and I just didn't stop.
Did you go to...
The whole thing. I hit when I was in my late 40s. I suddenly was on a show that became popular, and I happened to play a character that was also popular.
Tell the name of the show, because I want to get to Archer.
Dr. Krieger.
Yes, yes, you do.
And would you call yourself the Ricky Gervais of Atlanta?
Yes, I would. Why not? Well, who else?
Because he's the Lucky Eights of London.
He's
I really am.
So how are you here? We'll end with this. It better be a long, good story because we're ending with this. How did you get the part in Archer? How did that happen?
So I was working with Matt Thompson and Adam Reed. They did a couple of shows at Adult Swim. First was C-Lab 2021, and it was...
I remember that. He's not lying.
Produced right here. And at the time... That show was done by a group of like five guys that had a house. There was a house in a little town called East Atlanta. I guess it's a neighborhood. It's not really its own city. They just had this little house, and they made this funny cartoon there. And one of the guys, one of an animator, was in our improv ensemble. And so we would go to the parties and, you know, hang out with the guys that made C-Lab. And then C-Lab ended, and they started doing Frisky Dingo. And then a bunch of people, I don't know, auditioned or charmed them the right way at the party. I don't know what happened. But anyway,
You auditioned at the party?
No, I auditioned for Frisky Dingo when it was like a completely different cartoon.
Okay.
I don't know. We were just friends with the guys. And so they hired Amber Nash, who plays Pampoovy on Archer, also a Dad's Garage family member. She got the job of Val, playing this assassin girl, and then they brought me in as one of the Extacles, which were the henchmen, and I was just sort of the voice of reason amongst the Extacles. And I would go in and do it, and we had a good working relationship. So then they started doing Archer, hired Amber right away, and then like by the third episode, they finally had this weird character that they were going to give lines to finally, and then they were like, yeah, bring in Lucky, we'll try him out. And so I did, and then the show hit.
And now you're the richest man in the world.
Oh, my God.
I am
the lowest paid man on television.
Residuals are good for cartoons.
It's nice. It is nice to not have to. I don't do anything all day. It's great. I sit around with my dog. smoke some dubs.
That sounds like doing
draw
something.
Draw on a notebook.
Count
it's
my
pretty
money.
Great. Count my threes of dollars that comes pouring in.
Thank you very much, Lucky. Thank you very
thank
much,
you.
Dana.
Thank you.
Thank you
for having me on
Lucky
the show,
Kevin McDonald. Dana, thank you very much. That's the end of the podcast part. Yes. I would like to thank everyone. I would like to thank Kevin Galese and everyone at Dad's Garage. Thank you for having us. Or is it Garage? Thank you. I'd like to thank Matt Hobbs. I'd like to thank Lucky Yates. I'd like to thank Dan. I'd like to thank Dan. I'd like to thank everybody. I'd like to thank my producers who wrote this but didn't come or advertise it. Joe and Alex, our friend from Forever Dog. Thank you very much.
Forever Dog.
This has been a Forever Dog production. Executive produced by Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. For more original podcasts, please visit foreverdogpodcasts.com and subscribe to our shows on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Keep up with the latest Forever Dog news by following us on Twitter and Instagram @ForeverDogTeam and liking our page on Facebook.